Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14. I'd like to look at verses 17 through 24. Coming up to these verses right here, the faith of Abram was surely tried when hearing of Lot's capture. Abram took 318 armed servants and went against four kings led by a king, Chareladomer, and he did that to rescue Lot. Now, humanly speaking, the odds would seem insurmountable. But nothing is impossible with God. Abram believed God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Abram went after Chedorlaomer and the other three kings, pursued them, the scripture said, unto a city called Dan, divided his forces, and by night smote them, and took back Lot, Lot's goods, Lot's family, the people of that community. He finished the work. And there's a beautiful picture and type in that battle right there. It set forth the finished work, the rescue, the delivery of God's people. And you look at what Lot had lost. There's a Lot now, type, figure of man in the fall. All God's people found in the loins of Adam. And everything that Lot lost, it was recovered. Just as everything that we lost in our fall in Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ restored that which he took not away. That's what the Lord said. Lot lost his life. He's not in captivity. We lost our life. The Lord told Adam, the day you eat, you're going to surely die. And that image of God that was in man in the fall, restored by the Lord Jesus Christ, love for God, peace with him, fellowship with him. Abram took back all that was lost. The Lord Jesus Christ took back all that was lost for his people. Now, no sooner had Abram returned victoriously. He'd been tried, 318 men, four kings against four kings. That was faith. He believed God. But now, no sooner has he come back and he's getting ready to have another trial. He's going to meet with the king of Sodom, scripture says, in verse 17. And the king of Sodom is going to make him an offer. And it's going to be a trying offer. Scripture says in verse 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. But before there was a conversation between Abram and the king of Sodom, an event took place that's mentioned very few times in scriptures. It's mentioned here. It's mentioned in Psalm 110, verse 4. And it's mentioned in the book of Hebrews about this man. Name was Melchizedek. And the scripture says in verses 18 to 20, this is the account that's given of that meeting between Abram and Melchizedek. It says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand.' And he gave him tithes of all." Now, at this point, we would do no better. There is much speculation, I guess I could say, concerning who this man, Melchizedek, was. Let me just go ahead and just tell you from the outset right here. I'll tell you who I think he is. I think this is a pre-incarnate visitation of the Lord Jesus Christ himself that has come and met with Abram and blessed him. I know the Lord's going to meet again with him before he goes into Sodom. Came there with the two angels, and it was the Lord that was there. But that's who I believe he is. Now, I'll leave that up to your, direction by the Spirit of God, to who you think he is. But we would do no better than let's look at the Scriptures and see what the Scriptures has to say concerning the account of this man, Melchizedek. Hebrews 7:4 says, I'll read this to you. "Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of spoils." Now his name, a compound name of his name, it's Melech, means king, and Tzedek means justice. And you put those together and it comes out Melchizedek. And he was revealed to be in this scripture right here, verse 18, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem," king of peace. In fact, in the New Testament, Hebrews 7, verse 2 says concerning this man, Melchizedek. Right here it says, king of Salem, king of peace. Hebrews 7, 2 says, "To whom also Abram gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace." Now, when we start talking about kings and priests in the Old Testament, God's people's kings and priests, a king was set up to rule, to govern, to support, to reward the subjects of his kingdom. And the king in Israel was to come from the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49:10 says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." So we know that the kings in Israel were from the tribe of Judah. Revelation 5:5 says, "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." So concerning Melchizedek, he was a king. Doesn't say the tribe that he was from, But our Lord, as king, was king, powerful over all the earth. A kingdom, the scripture declares, that is forever and has no end. He rules in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and all power has been given unto him as king. And he shall give eternal life, being king, being all powerful, to as many as the Father has given him. And we know that our Lord and Savior is king. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. In the New Testament, in 1 Timothy 6:15, concerning our Lord, it says, who is blessed, who is the blessed and only potentate. I looked up potentate to make sure I understand what it means. I think I know what it means, but I want to know I know what it means. Ruler or officer of great authority. That's what it means. He is the blessed and only potentate. King, capital K, of kings, little k. Lord of lords. Ruling in authority in heaven and earth. And as Melchizedek was king of Salem, he is king of priests. King of peace, not priest. He is king of peace, king of Salem. And Hebrews 7:2, king of righteousness. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is the king of peace. He is the king of righteousness. The scripture says in Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of his cross, and by his obedience imputed to those who believe on him, many shall be made righteous. He is the king of righteousness. He is the king of peace. Melchizedek is said to be king of Salem. He's king of peace. Hebrews 7:2 says he's the king of righteousness. So, not only do we behold our precious Savior as being king of peace, king of righteousness, the scripture says concerning Melchizedek, he was priest of the Most High God. I want you to look in your Bible in verse 18 and look at the exact wording. Notice that when we get down to the word was, and it says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he, the priest of the Most High God. The word was there is in italics. It's added. It wasn't there. Just read it without the was. And he, the priest of the Most High God. This is the first place in Scripture where the title, the office of priest, is ever mentioned. Now there were kings in the Scriptures. They were from the tribe of Judah. There were priests, and they were from the tribe of Levi, but a particular house in the tribe of Levi. Hold your place and turn to Numbers 3. Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. I want to read verses 5 to 10. Now this is how specific God was when it came to the priest. Numbers chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation, to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. And thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest's office. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. Now, where were the priests to come from? They were going to come from the Levites, but they were going to come from the house of Aaron. And if you didn't come, if you were not from the house of Aaron, you were not going to be the priest. It was specific. It was specific. You remember when Korah told Moses, he said, you know, you take a whole lot on yourself, you know, to, you know, and Korah decided he was going to, you know, kind of push his weight around, and he was going to show him that they could, you know, they could be priests, you know. And God just opened up the earth and sent them alive to hell. You remember Saul? What position did Saul have? He was a king. He was supposed to have been waiting on Samuel. Samuel was the priest. And Saul got ahead of himself. And Saul decided he was going to make the sacrifice. God took the kingdom from him. You remember Uzziah? Uzziah was a king. And he decided he was going to go ahead and make the sacrifice. And the priest told him, he said, Uzziah, this appertaineth not unto thee to do this. And he did it. What happened to him? God struck him with leprosy. And Isaiah, that's when he wrote, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. The office of the priest, the office of the king, they were separate offices. Didn't overlap. The kings ruled, the priests offered sacrifices. This man was king and priest. He was king of Salem, king of peace, king of righteousness. And he was priest of the Most High God. Whenever the priest was taken for the use in the sacrifice, it had to be a man. It was a man, and it was a man that born of woman to fulfill and obey the demands for righteousness, had to be a man. Representing the Lord Jesus Christ, who must die to fulfill the law's demand for justice, who could suffer and be buried and raised from the dead. Christ alone could do that. All the other priests pictured him as God's priest, our blessed Savior. He's sovereign and willing to act as mediator between God and man. Truly God. One with the Father, truly man, made flesh. God to give merit and efficacy to the offering. God Almighty to have the power in the offering. God who is worthy alone to be worshipped. Man who would die. Man who would suffer. Now here we behold our great high priest. Listen, turn to Hebrews chapter 5. I want you to consider this blessed Savior, the great high priest. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself is also compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So here's our blessed Savior. He's a king, king of peace, king of righteousness, and he is priest of the Most High God. He was taken from among men, made flesh, and he, as a priest, he would offer gifts. He offered the gift of himself in obedience to God, in the sacrifice of his blood to the law's demand for justice and the putting away of guilt of his people. Hebrews 2:16-17 says, For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Oh, the glory of our blessed Lord and Savior, our great King and priest. He who was brought up with the Father, he who daily was the Father's delight. Now I want us, as I began to close this down, I want us to just consider this man, Melchizedek, who met with Abraham. Who is it that is the Savior of his people, that rules with his people, is the great high priest of his people? It's one man. It's one man. Turn with me to Hebrews 7, verse 6. Hebrews 7. Hebrews chapter 7, listen to the account of this man, Melchizedek. I read some the accounts. Some of them said it was Shem. They believed that Melchizedek was Shem. I want you to read this account. We know who Shem's lineage was. We know who Shem was. We know who his daddy was. Who was Shem's daddy? Noah. They said it was this one. They said it was that one. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Now listen to this. Without father, without mother, without descent, without pedigree, where did he come from? There's no record. No record of his daddy, no record of his mama, no record of his family. Having neither beginning of days, when did he start? There was no start. Having nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. One writer said, well, I know it couldn't have been the Lord, because it just said he was made like unto him. To whom are you going to compare the Lord? You're telling me that there was somebody that was made like unto the Son of God? Abideth a king continually. I'm sorry, a priest. Abide as a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. So concerning back in Genesis chapter 14, consider this man, Melchizedek. The account again in chapter 14, verse 18 to 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. The priest would come to offer gifts. Those priests in the Old Testament, what did they give? They gave the blood of animals, the blood of bulls and goats, and they gave just exactly what God ordained that they would give. Put on their side. What did this man bring? He brought bread and wine. When our Lord ate with his disciples, you know where I'm going with this, Neil. When our Lord sat down at Last Supper, what were the elements? Bread and wine. What do they symbolize? This is my body that's broken for you. This is my blood which is shed for you. As often as you eat this bread and drink this wine, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. What did Melchizedek bring? He brought bread and wine. And he, the priest of the Most High God, that's who he was. This is what he brought. This is who he was. He's the king of Salem, king of righteousness. It's who he is. That's who he is. What did he bring? He brought bread and wine, symbols of his broken body and his shed blood, sacrifice to establish that peace before God. And what did he do? Verse 19 said, and he blessed him. He blessed him and said, blessed be Abram. From who? From the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. You know what a priest is? He's one that intercedes for God's people before God. Here is the mediator, the great high priest, who ever liveth to make intercession. Here he speaks to Abraham and tells him, God has blessed you. That's what he said. Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And there's what he did for Abram before God. Next verse, 20. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he, that is Abram, gave him tithes of all. So he told Abram, first of all, God has blessed you. And then as the ever-living great high priest, he blessed God on Abram's behalf. The scripture sets forth that Abram gave tithes unto him. Gave offerings. Gave tithes of all the spoils. One of the writers said, he said, well, what he did was he didn't give. He'd gone and gotten Lot. And he brought back Lot and he brought back all the stuff, the spoils. And one writer said, he said, well, it wasn't the tithe of the spoils, because he wasn't going to take all of that. Later we'll see that in just a minute. I'll finish this up. When king of Sodom says, you take all the stuff. And Abraham said, no, I'm not going to take anything. But I'll tell you what Abraham did. He did give it out of the tithe, out of the spoils. Because I read it a while ago. I'm going to read this to you so you can know. It says back in Hebrews chapter 7, to clarify exactly where he got the tithes. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, upon whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. So he gave exactly what the scriptures said he gave. Out of the spoils, he gave that unto Melchizedek. That was a tithe. That was it was for the maintenance of the priest is what it was for. You know, the tithe was God's provision for the priest. They didn't have any other inheritance. They had the Lord. They were in the temple, and God, they didn't have land. God gave them provision. And it was out of the tithes. They were to pay a tenth. That's what it was. What do we do today? I'll just read this for you, 2 Corinthians 9. Somebody asked me one time, how are we supposed to give? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I said, I'll tell you exactly how you give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye also, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So Abram gave tithes. That was the maintenance for the priest. Melchizedek was a priest, and Abram did exactly as he was commanded. Now, after that meeting, there's that glorious meeting where Almighty God, I'm convinced in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, came and met Abram when he came back from the slaughter. And now that king of Sodom that had come up and he was getting ready to talk to Abram before Melchizedek got there. And I was taken back at the power. Whenever Melchizedek got there, the king of Sodom said nothing. But now, Melchizedek has spoken to Abram. And now the king of Sodom is going to speak, and we'll end this up. Verses 21-24. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. Now here's a trial. Here's a trial coming up right here. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take. Now this is something he had already done. I have lifted up my hand that I will not take from a thread. I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet. And that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Now, here we conclude the words spoken to the king of Sodom after Abram's victory over the kings. Another temptation. Here's what the king of Sodom says to him. You take all the spoils. You take all the booty. Give me the people. And Abram said, I lift up my hand unto the Lord. I don't doubt that the Lord had moved upon Abram. I don't doubt that Abram had prayed. It's not recorded, but he says here, I've lifted my hand unto God, and I'm not going to take anything from you, so that you can't say, I made Abram rich. I'm not going to take any of that. It was enough that God had given Lot and Lot's possessions, that Melchizedek had met with him and blessed him. He said, I'm not taking anything. I'm not going to have you say that you rewarded me and that now I'm rich because of something you've done to me. He would take nothing except, now listen to what he did, save only, verse 24, that which young men have eaten, what these men ate, they were deserving of that, and the portion of men which went with me. He didn't restrict. I mean, when they took things, they got the spoils. Whatever these men, what a portion would go to these men, you let it go to these men, but you'll give me nothing. You're not going to give me anything. You're not going to say that you made. You're not going to say that you rewarded me. God is my rewarder. God is my provider. Oh, the blessing that Abram had in meeting with the Lord in that blessed meeting with Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, the King of Salem. And he blessed him. He blessed him there. And blessed God on his behalf. I pray that the Lord bless this to our hearts. Bless it to our hearts that we might realize this same Lord Jesus Christ meets with us right here. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of you. May we behold him by faith this night for his glory and our good. Amen.